session number 12168, rule 3.
Mr. Simpson, rule 3. So you said that you advanced from the River Seine, presumably through northern France into Belgium, did you?
No, we didn't go as far as that. We went up to Le Havre, where there was a pocket of resistance, German resistance, and there was quite a battle going on there for some time. And we took the casualties from there. After that was over, we went into Le Havre when it was over, and went down to a German hospital which was built in the rock underneath the cliffs, and there was a very, very extensive, in fact it was so big that they were running a sort of an electrified railway line down below in these caves below Le Havre, and there was loads and loads of stores and equipment of every kind, all captured stuff from the British, well, the majority of it captured stuff from the British, and wine, spirits, whatever have you, food of all kinds, and descriptions that were being taken from British ships. After we'd...
Did you see any of the Germans at Le Havre?
Well, quite a few, yes. There were a lot of them were taken prisoner, of course, after the fighting was over, and there was quite a lot of Germans around. Anyway, weren't there very...
Did the civilians of Le Havre seem annoyed at the bombing?
Well, of course, everybody's annoyed at being bombed, but they welcomed the relief of the Le Havre itself. The town itself didn't get much of a plastering. It was more the surroundings, the perimeter that took a lot of the hammer from the guns, and the Germans were not in the actual town itself, at least not the majority of them. They were round about in the surroundings, so that the town itself was not much damaged, not as far as I can recollect anyway. After being there for some weeks, we went on into Brussels and were welcomed, like conquering hero comes, you know, everybody coming out and cheering and shouting, and then from there we went through to a place called Turnhout in Belgium, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, Belgium.
You said earlier that you saw the treatment of some collaborators in Brussels. Can you describe that?
Well, this was when we went on leave into Brussels. They'd been rounding up these collaborators, including the girls that had been fraternising with the German soldiers and shaving their heads, quite a lot of them, and they put a lot of the main collaborators into the zoo, and we went in there and to have a look at them. Whether it was permitted or not, I don't know, but they were in the cages like animals in the zoo, you know.
But not with the animals?
Well, the animals had been taken out, of course, and yeah. I mean, the Germans must have taken the animals away, shot them or something, and some time before, but there they were in the zoo behind bars, in the cages.
Were they men and women?
Men and women, yeah. Collaborators, yes.
How many of them did there seem to be?
Quite a lot. A couple of hundred or so.
Were people taunting them?
Yes. Shouting at them and waving the fists at them.
Were they responding?
Not really. I suppose they got tired of it when we got there. They've been there a couple of days when we got there.
So you said you went to Turnhout?
Turnhout, yes. And in the tour school there, and we were there quite a long while. Most of the activity was further on, over in the bridges at Eindhoven and that place. And we took a few casualties from there, but we weren't very busy. All this time I was in charge of the hospital, of the evacuation, and doing evacuating to general hospitals and whatever have you. From Turnhout, we went up to Tilburg, just outside Tilburg, a place called Goyle, and went into a monastery there, and the monks were still there. They used to wake us at 4 o'clock in the morning with the bell tolling, get up and say the prayers, but we didn't get up, of course, at that time if we could avoid it. and set up a hospital. The hospital was set up there, and we were there for some weeks until they eventually Arnhem fell, and we got a lot of casualties from soldiers who had tried to cross the river and others who were brought back. Quite a few escaped from Arnhem and crossed the river, and we got them all in and treated them, sent them back on the way. From there we wintered there practically. No, after the winter. Part of the winter there, and we went on to Krefeld in Germany when crossed over the Rhine, and Krefeld in Germany, and went in a school there, a monastery, and we stayed there for a week or two, and then after that we got not a lot of casualties there. It was very quiet at that time, and although there was fighting going on further afield. And then we set off one day and went along the road and into a field by the side of the road. Of course, everything was tested for mines. All the verges and that kind of thing had to be cleared before our trucks went over. Because mines were laid in all sorts of indiscriminate places by the sides of fields, even in Germany. And we went into this field and put up canvas. We no sooner put up canvas than we were called on parade, the whole lot of us, cooks and the whole lot included, and then told that we could volunteer to go to Belsen. Well, we had no idea whatever what Belsen was, not a clue what it was like, but we were told that it was horrific and that it's full of typhus and TB, and anybody who didn't want to volunteer could drop out. And only one man dropped out, and he'd been a prisoner of war, and evacuated to Britain because he was ill. He got better and rejoined the forces. And he was the only man that didn't volunteer out of the whole, what, 250 or so of our unit. And next morning we had to go up. Oh, we were all given inoculations against typhus and typhoid, and set up next morning to go to the up the hill, over the bridge at Cella, and up the hill to Belsen, towards what we eventually got to know as Belsen. On either side of this hill there were German field guns, and I'm being told not to fire because, you know, medical unit going into Belsen, otherwise if the prisoners had not been, the Belsen victims had been let free, they'd have spread typhus and typhoid and TB all over Germany. So we were there to do what we could to relieve the Belsen camp. Eventually we reached the gates of this. Well, when we reached it, you could smell it a couple of miles off. Horrible, stinking smell of death. Belsen camp. We went through some two or three lots of barbed wire, and the Belsen victims were all sort of lined up in the pajamas, jackets and clothes, unwashed and dirty, smelly. Well, everything smelled around there. And we, one or two of the boys started throwing chocolate out. there was near riot. The Germans had to come up with the rifles. The Germans were still guarding these people. The Germans had to come up with the rifles and knock the Belsen inmates back from the trucks. Otherwise, they would probably have been eaten ourselves, so I don't know, but it was tremendous.
They had to beat them back with rifle butts?
Yes, yeah. Literally beat them away out of the, you know, because they thought they were getting food. I saw what kind of food they were getting at that time, and this was potatoes straight out of the field, unwashed, just put in a cauldron and served up as soup with what I learned afterwards was a piece of black bread about once a day if they were lucky. But this was all the Belsen people were living on at that time, and the Germans were not in much better state because they had no food. They were very, very short of food themselves, although they were better off than the people in Belsen. We went through this gate, as I say, and up and halted at the other side, and then we were told that we could either stay down there in some luxurious SS quarters, which was almost in the centre of the Belsen camp, or put cameras up the hill about a mile away, where you were away from the smell. So we volunteered to go up the hill. We went up the hill, put cameras up there, and next morning we went down to not into the camp itself, but into a place where we were going to some barracks, where we were going to hospitalise whatever we could of these Belsen victims. and I said I'd like to go down into the main camp to see what it was like, you know. Well, it was beggars belief that there were nation huts and piled outside with corpses. The people had died inside the huts, and the only way they could get rid of them was pushing them through the windows. They were piled outside the window. The first lot of ambulances that went down to start evacuating, there were swarms of people trying to get on every stretcher. And the medical officers went inside and just sorted out the ones who needed hospitalisation immediately. And the others had to stay behind, and of course they all tried to get on the ambulances, and it was a fight to get them off. Well, I went back up into where this big barrack block was, and there was a building that had housed horses in the stables, and they were very well built and reasonably clean for stables. At that time there were some Russian prisoners of war in the vicinity, so they rounded these Russians up to come and clear out all the manure and whatever have you from these stables. And we made that into the reception centre. The ambulances used to come in with clean blankets, go down to the main camp, load up the victims, bring them back up into this reception area, and then they were taken from there and taken in and washed and de-loused by German nurses whom we conscripted, and I looked after all that side of it, the washing and de-lousing. And at one time we'd washed and de-loused 960 people in one day. We had a laundry unit that pumped out, you know, boiled up water all the time, day and night. And, we worked from there from dawn in the morning till dusk at night. Well, till it got dark anyway. And at one time we washed and de-loused 960. It was the only time I ever counted them this one particular day. And my job was to see that the clean blankets that were washed in the laundry unit were used on the stretchers that went down to the camp, and the dirty blankets were taken back and washed so that there were no lice and whatever have you on them. The people that came up were covered in lice and excrement. Horrible sight and horrible people, really. At least I thought so at the time, but now I know it was just that they tried to survive.
In what way were they horrible?
Well, cringing and crawling, you know. Everything you did, you know, they thought you were going to get a beating for it and something like that. And, it was really disgusting. They were just like animals. In fact, they'd been brutalised by the Germans.
How was the washing and delousing done? How was the washing and the delousing done?
Well, they were laid out on the stone slabs, and we got buckets of hot water and soap, and the German nurses washed them down, and we powdered them with DDT powder all over, and the head was shaved too. Hair was shaved off. Well, in fact, all body hair was shaved off. And then they were put on stretchers and taken to this, the rest of the barrack block, where they fixed up beds that they'd scrounged from everywhere and everybody all round the vicinity. This lasted, I think, what would it be? March until back end of May, before eventually they were cleared it all up.
Did the German nurses do the work willingly?
Well, they were a bit surly at first, but we gave them food and tea and that kind of thing when it came down for us. When it came down for us, we gave them food and tea, and they eventually accepted it as a job, and they didn't. It was not done willingly, really. And they were offered the inoculations, the same inoculations that we'd had. And all but three of them accepted the inoculations. And the three that got it got typhoid. Three that didn't get the inoculation got typhoid. The rest were pretty clear.
Did they die of the typhoid?
One of them did. One out of the three, yes.
Did you catch any diseases?
No. Although I do remember one time I'm going in there, and as I say, I was on all day, you know, lifting stretchers, helping out, and all, doing all kinds of things. And I forgot to take my watch off one day. When I took it off at night, there was a pile, wristwatch, there was a pile of dead lice at the back of the watch. That was rather scared then that I'd probably get something, but unfortunately I didn't.
You mean between the back of the watch?
Between the back of the watch, yes. And the skin. Yeah. Stayed there for until May, when, and on the 31st of May, they decided that that was it. And in the meantime, of course, there was the and the end of the war, and all the Russians came out and shot the rifles off up into the air and made a grand firework display from out of it. Where they got the ammunition from, I don't know. They were supposed to be, have no ammunition, you know, they still had the guns, no ammunition. The German units that were there at Belsen were marched off within about a fortnight, leaving a battalion of Hungarians who had surrounded the outer perimeter of the Belsen camp to stop people running about, escaping, you know, wandering about. There was a big pile of manure outside the place where I was working, and it was steaming hot, of course, as manure always is. I looked out one day, and there was three or four of the people who had been hospitalised scutting about in this manure. So I went to have a look to see what they were doing. And they'd been out in the fields and dug up their own potatoes. And they'll put them in the manure to soften, you know, to partly cook. Because when they were hospitalised, unless they were in reasonable good condition, they weren't given any solid food for quite some time. Their stomachs were shriveled up and couldn't accept it. They were given milk substances and that kind of thing too, until they got strong enough to eat. And that was just one of the things that happened. Anyway, we stayed there for, as I say, until the end of May. And then we were told that we were going on a holiday for the work that we'd done in Bolson. And we sent it into Denmark.
Before we go on to Denmark, if I could ask you a few more questions. Mm-hmm. How soon after the liberation of Bolson do you think that you went in?
It wasn't liberated when we went in. It was not the Germans that surrendered it. It was not liberated.
Were you the first British into
Bolson? We were the first British medical unit into Bolson. There had been a few soldiers that had done a recce around there, but no infantry as such. No army units as such. We were the first into Bolson.
Did you see any of the people who were primarily responsible for the camp?
Yes, I saw the commandant. What was his name? And he was taken away with his hands in his pockets and marched to the station. They'd taken his braces off him and. I can't think of his name.
Was his name Kramer?
Kramer, yes. Kramer, yes. And one or two of the senior SS men, nearly all SS that were in the concentration camp. And Irma Grazer, the famous Irma Grazer, she was taken away with a lot of the nurses who had been in the camp. She was a nurse, of course, in charge. I don't know if she was a nurse, but she was dressed as a nurse anyway. And she was a beautiful woman. And almost to the end of our stay there, she was brought in suffering from typhoid. And we had to wash and de-louse her. You know, where she went from there, I don't know. But that's what happened to her. And
did Kramer and Irma Grazer seem defiant or repentant?
Oh, very sullen. Not defiant as such, not shouting or anything like that. Very sullen.
Was any harm done to the people who were in charge of the camp?
No, well, you when you first went into the camp, when the infantry came up and took over the guards, you know, they said you can have a whip if you go in.